Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Okay, the most unlikely Super Bowl teams ever. Will any Cowboys team make this list? Have the top 10. The top 10 most unlikely Super Bowl teams. You know, they basically came from out of nowhere to do it. They were outstanding and surprising. 49ers are pretty surprising, aren't they? Considering 4-12, maybe they'll be on this list.
Yes.
Did they have to win the Super Bowl or just make the Super Bowl?
Just make it.
Okay. Yeah. I have a couple candidates then.
Okay. Coming up at 4:20, five lessons the Cowboys could learn from the Super Bowl matchup. And at some point in the next 45 minutes, I can tell you, we're going to have a chance to win $1,000 right here. Yeah. $1,000. That'd be awful nice, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that'd be good.
Pay off that credit card from Christmas.
Mike, boom. You going to try again?
I tried one day, didn't win. I know if I would have won, it would have really ticked off our bosses because I can't collect on the money. Like if you work for Intercom, you can't get it. So I don't know what would have happened if they'd have been like, hey, this number won. And I've been like, I'm actually on the radio doing the show. So what do you want me to do with it?
All right. Good stuff there, gentlemen.
Oh, thanks.
Yes.
Great stuff, Mike.
Thanks. All right. I'm going to guess the Arizona Cardinals.
Very entertaining.
With Kurt Warner.
The Arizona Cardinals with Kurt Warner. I was going to give some hints.
Oh, sorry.
Golly, Mike.
Well, that was one that came to mind. I was really surprised. Yeah. That wasn't a very good team, and they did make the Super Bowl.
I need hints, so.
Okay. Well, let's start off with number 10, the 10 most unlikely teams.
The Kurt Warner Cardinals.
No, good guess, though.
They're going to be higher. They're going to be top three or four.
Let's start out with number 10 here. This team had a quarterback on the squad that was also a Cowboys quarterback. Maybe even the next year.
Mark Sanchez.
They didn't make the Super Bowl.
They made the title game.
No.
AFC.
This was the beginning of the greatest dynasty we've ever seen in the salary cap era. Maybe ever, period.
So Drew Patriots Bledsoe. who beat the first Rams team?
Yes, you got it there. The 2001 New England Patriots. They were the third best team in their own division by DVOA.
Ooh.
You hear that, Mike? At the end of the year, they were the third best in their division. They snuck into the playoffs. They were not great at avoiding or forcing turnovers. They were 3-4 at midseason before winning 8 of their last 9.
Is when Bledsoe got hit in the chest, right?
And yeah. Bledsoe thought Brady sucked.
Yeah,
I remember the quote. He was like, "Yeah, I look forward to the opportunity for having the chance to win my job back."
Yes,
like, they won't let me.
Yeah, he thought he was getting Dak Prescotted right
yes.
there. They faced the league's second easiest schedule. That team shouldn't have even been in the playoffs. They were realistically a good but not great football team in a season in which they parlayed an 11-5 year into a first-round bye somehow.
And Belichick knew it. He's like, we have no chance to win the Super Bowl. Can we just film the other team's practice before the game?
Huh. Yeah, then they go ahead and win the Super Bowl as 14-point underdogs. Yeah. Maybe that's when the spying changed everything.
100%.
Around week 10 that year.
100%.
Okay, number nine. This team had one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. Although, if he hadn't won 2 Super Bowls super late in his career, he might not have ever gotten
John
credit
Elway
for it.
Yes. 98.
No.
They lost a whole bunch of games by a lot of points to Washington, New York, and San Francisco. Which one was it?
Yes, we will go to the 1989 Denver Broncos. I'm not sure who they lost to there. But, yeah, did they lose to 49ers.
Shoot. Okay.
The defense transformed overnight that year. The Broncos improved from 27th to 4th in defensive DVOA. It was the first year that Steve Atwater played for them. It was defensive coordinator Wade Phillips taking over, and he turned that thing around like a genius. Dan Reeves had taken over Denver as well. But I think the really interesting thing and relevant thing for the Cowboys is something you talk about, Jeff, just how unpredictable defense is. And, yes, they lost to the 49ers in that Super Bowl. 55-10 was the final score there. But I mean, just
bad
having
job by them.
Just suddenly having turnovers go your way, or one player, or good luck, something weird could ignite bad defenses and make them good. And that's a pretty consistent theme throughout this top 10 list.
Okay. Okay.
Up next here on the top 10 most unlikely Super Bowl teams in the history of the league, we go to the late 90s here. A team that went from 7-9 to 14-2 because they decided to give their running back 410 carries in the regular season.
I don't know. Am I right?
And he
or
was
wrong?
Doing a dirty, dirty dance all year long.
Oh, the Dirty Birds, the dirty Jamal birds. Anderson. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. 98. Dan Reeves took over that team and just ran the hell out of it. Gary Anderson missed a field goal, though, in the NFC title game for the Vikings.
15-1 Vikings, right?
Yeah. Brutal. Yeah, Randall Cunningham didn't make the Super Bowl because Gary missed like a 35-yarder.
What a jerk.
He didn't miss one all year. So Falcons went in.
Screw those Falcons. That Vikings team was incredible to watch.
Yes, it was. It was
so much fun.
Robert Smith and Randall Cunningham. And was Randy Moss on the team already? Wow.
Yep.
By the way, Jamal Anderson tore his ACL in week one the next year. You talk about that rule of 370. Mm. They got him about the worst as you could. Number seven on the list, the top 10 most out-of-the-blue Super Bowl appearances. We go back to the mid-90s to a team that went 6-10 the previous year to 11-5.
How about the team that we beat, the Pittsburgh Steelers?
No.
Dang it.
90s Super Bowl.
They stole a defensive coordinator mid-season from his job where he was the head coach of the Cleveland Browns. And miraculously, their defense got a lot better.
Hell if I know. The Bills were in some Super Bowls.
Yes, this would be the 1996, the forgotten Patriots, the Patriots that lost to the Packers. Bill Parcells snags Belichick midseason. He got blown out by the Browns.
Oh.
He'd been the head coach. He's like, I can't really make you the defensive coordinator, but can you help my defensive coordinator? And Bill was like, I got you, Bill. Check this out. They went from like 27th in defensive DVOA the second half of the season. They went to 13th.
Bill's carrying around one of those old schools where you got to put your hand on the side of it and rest it on your shoulder cameras. And he's like, you'll never guess what I've discovered recently. We're about to go on a tear.
Dude, check out what I just did. Okay, Bledsoe, Terry Glenn, Curtis Martin. No, that was a pretty good team, wasn't it? Pretty good Patriots team. Okay, at least on the offensive side of the ball. Number six on the list is a team that's been playing football over the last decade and made the playoffs.
What?
Yeah.
They've been playing football.
Yes. So they made the playoffs in the last decade. I don't know how many teams that eliminates. I feel like we're down to like
Cleveland.
26 teams now.
Yeah. Might be a couple, okay? Next hint. Their quarterback was hurt in 2014. So their Super Bowl appearance kind of came out of the blue because they were like 6-10.
Well, then would it be the Carolina Panthers, because they would go up and down all the time.
He nailed it. Look at that. Mike in the freaking zone over here. The 2015 Panthers, Cam Newton has an MVP year. They also suddenly became a takeaway defense. And this defense, look up the Carolina Panthers 2015 defense. I mean, a bunch of cobbled together no-name dudes, right? And then the one good corner, Josh Norman. But other than that, it was a bunch of free agents and misfits, especially through the secondary. And bam, they struck lightning, had 39 takeaways there that year. And
find yourself a 260-pound quarterback who's willing to put it all on the line every week, and you will get a good season out of it.
Okay. I hear you can get one of those right now.
Who? Oh, Cam?
Cam, yeah. Well, might be available.
Yeah,
right, maybe. Bid. Okay, has
what
Matt Rhule said
to?
Anything about that yet? We're inside the top five now, five.
I have a bad feeling about one of these teams on the list.
Oh, you think there's a Cowboy
team? No, I don't.
Oh.
I think that it's going to be the one of them will be a team. I'll wait till he gives hints.
Oh, there's
going to
be a Giants team on there.
Yeah.
You must be talking about 1981, Mike.
Oh, of course. 81.
Are you talking about the 49ers and the catch?
From 6-10 to 13-3, things came together pretty quickly for Bill Walsh and Joe Montana. They're in 1981, beat the Cowboys on the Dwight Clark catch.
Mm.
They hadn't made the playoffs in 10 years. But not only did they have Joe Montana, but they also had Ronnie Lott, who was a rookie safety.
See
on
how
that
quick
defense.
He can turn around, Mike? This could be our year.
If you're willing to take
a
safety.
Was that Montana's like second or third year in the NFL?
Yeah, something like that.
He was 79 draft, right? So that would have been his second year.
Okay.
Yeah, pretty good team there. Okay, number five on the list, though, was the team who lost to those San Francisco 49ers in Super Bowl 16.
The Bengals?
The 1981 Bengals were also 6-10. Boom. 1980, Ken O'Brien takes over in 1981, wins the MVP.
Yeah. Man.
They're saying that Super Bowl was between two trash teams.
Yeah, pretty much.
Man, everybody else in the league should be embarrassed.
The Bengals, you know, went back to being trash.
I wonder what Danny White's career, you know, you talk about things like Danny White is kind of like for a lot of Cowboy fans, like, screw Danny, because he had to come in after Roger Staubach. But if the catch doesn't happen and then they play one of the worst, you're saying like a really surprised team and they beat the Bengals in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Now Danny can go lose the next two NFC championship games, but it's like, yeah, but he was able to win a championship after Staubach. But
yeah, I know,
instead,
man.
Instead, we just think of him as just another dude.
Has the media landscape or emphasis on the NFL changed enough that Tony Romo won't suffer the same fate? Because Danny White's a broadcaster too, you know. But
I think that the one thing Tony has that's different and better for Tony is he didn't follow Troy Aikman. If he would have been the quarter, if just time would have been in Tony Romo's time, that he would have had the same career, but he would have came in 2000, we'd be like, yeah, whatever. Tony wasn't that good, because we would have just seen Troy Aikman. But because we had a 6-7 year crapness of quarterbacks, Tony will be memorized. Be memorized. Well,
eulogized.
Eulogized.
You just said crapness. Are you worried about that? Yeah. You're all right, dog.
I think that's a good word.
I like those sentences.
I just think that Tony will be looked upon better because he came in when we had seen 6 or 7 years of really bad football.
The most unlikely Super Bowl teams ever, ranked number 4 on the list. I don't know much about these guys.
Oh, I got you covered.
It's going to be old then.
Oh, yeah, I'm on this. Oh, I'm all over this.
I think Fran Tarkenton.
Oh, Minnesota?
Vikings.
Purple People Eaters, maybe. The 1969 Minnesota Vikings.
I don't know much about it either. I just know at one point one of their defensive people, and I don't know what year it was.
Marshall, like, right? Went the wrong way.
In the wrong way. Jim Marshall, right?
I believe so.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know.
See, we know football. We watch more football than you.
Number 2 just happened.
Who just played in the Super Bowl?
Well, it's happening right now.
Oh, the Niners?
Yeah, the Niners. They say this is the second most unlikely run into a Super Bowl. Massive surge in turnovers for them. They set the record only 7 takeaways last year.
I thought for sure the 07 Giants or the Cardinals led by Kurt Warner were going to be on this list.
They might be number 1.
Well, you know what? The Arizona Cardinals led by Kurt Warner, not on the list. But you know who is?
The St. Louis Giants. Or Phoenix Cardinals.
Yeah, the St. Louis Rams of 1999. The first go around of the greatest show on turf.
Yeah. So Trent Green got hurt, and Kurt Warner takes him to a championship.
Yeah, that was apparently. But, yeah, that Arizona team deserved it as well. I mean, even in the middle of that playoff run, it was like they're really not going to make it all the way to the Super Bowl, are they?
This can't happen, can it?
And then they damn near did it. What a great Super Bowl that was with Arizona and Pittsburgh all those years ago. All right, it is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. We hope you're having a great day. We got
St. Louis can't hold on to a football team for crap.
Isn't it weird how
worse than Oakland?
The United States of America holds football in such high regard, but there are pockets like L.A.
St. Louis lost the Cardinals and the Rams.
Care. St. Louis doesn't care. I mean, there are small pockets of major cities that, like, we don't care about NFL football.
Or maybe their cities have some respect for themselves, and they're like, if you want a stadium, you build it. And they're like, well, we can find one somewhere else.
Florida cares about high school football, and they care about college football. I mean, if you look at Jacksonville, Tampa, and Miami, they don't care that much. Now, they care about it more than the other sports. That's what makes L.A. and St. Louis at least so unique, is they actually care about sports. They just don't care about NFL football.
Yeah, it's interesting, man. I mean, I know in L.A., like, they got real USC excited for a while, but they went out of the national championship picture, and there's no sign of, you know, Trojan stuff now when you go through Los Angeles. So that is weird, man. It's a, you know, the country's fascinating in how many different interests and cultures you have spread out over under the same umbrella.
I mean, the most things that you see that are Trojan stuff when you go to the Los Angeles area is like at a 7-Eleven.
Yeah, there you go. Got it. That's my section.
There's a joke right there. Dallas, get ready. One night only.
Thank you.
God. Trojan man.
My jokes are like way up there. You have to think about them for a second for it to really.
You sound sleepy. We got a couch right there. You just want to take a 5-minute nap.
We got to start time stamping some of these and make a montage into the year.
Oh, please don't. Should I start off my jokes by saying, guys, I have a joke?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yes. It takes a while for me with you. Yeah.
Let us know here. Give us the heads up. 5 lessons the Cowboys could learn from the Super Bowl matchup. We got winning time coming up as well. Stick around. around the NFL 440 right here on The Fan. Welcome back, G-Bag Nation. We're watching this Super Bowl matchup come together, and you look at these things that these teams do and what the Cowboys might learn. And the 49ers one is just fascinating because they were huge rivals in the 90s. And now the 49ers are back in this thing for a second time since the Cowboys were. They've been to the NFC title game, is it five times?
They've been on a roller coaster, huh?
They've been on a massive, massive roller coaster. And I want to ask you guys, how important of a role is hitting rock bottom? It doesn't only help your draft room, but is that the reason the Cowboys haven't had the chance to reevaluate everything? You know, the last time they hit rock bottom, they hired Bill Parcells. It was three straight 5-11 years. Yeah. And that was 2002, right? This team has not been in, holy crap, guys, we got to look at ourselves in the mirror in 17, 18 years. Segment's brought to you by State of the Art Weight Loss. It's brought to you by the Frankels, 214-333-3333. If you're hurt in an accident, it's not your fault. Call the Frankels or go online to frankelfirm.com. Their tackle, Joe Staley, said, "I'd be lying to you if I said I always believed. There were some dark years here in this franchise." The first time they had dark years, Mike, they looked across town to Stanford and plucked Jim Harbaugh, and they said, "Harbaugh is our guy. They got a transformative, powerful sports leader." The next time, they said, "Holy crap, we got to find a genius here, Kyle Shanahan," and took a huge risk for John Lynch, a guy that they believed. They gave him the job, and those things worked out and profoundly altered the trajectory of the organization.
I think, unfortunately, you pretty much have to hit rock bottom unless you get lucky enough to go Aaron Rodgers with the 24th pick, and so you can go from Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers. Even Indianapolis, and I know it didn't pay off in the end with Andrew Luck, they hit rock bottom 1 year, got Andrew Luck because of Peyton Manning. I thought the Cowboys were headed that way. When in Seattle in preseason game number 3, Tony Romo went down,
yeah,
I thought, we're about to go. You've just gone 4-12,
yeah,
and then you get hurt again, and I thought, all right, we're about to go 4-12 again, and that could really mean some big things because you just thought, hey, we're going to have another draft where we're picking in the top five and maybe 2 years in a row picking in the top five. But it ended up Dak Prescott had one of the greatest rookie years in the history of football, and they didn't have to do it. I do think you usually have to. I think the Cowboys are going to pay ultimately in the way that I think you think. We're hoping it doesn't happen, but over the next 5 to 6 years, you're going to be good, but never be great because you weren't able to get really great different makers on both sides of the field, on defense and on offense. You got good,
yeah,
but you never got great.
Yeah, and that's what I hope doesn't happen is you're right in the middle there of average and you're thinking we're close enough, we're doing a lot of things right. If you have 3 years of 5-11 or worse, you say, guys, we're doing lots of stuff wrong. We need to change everything, right? And it makes you hungry and gives you a big appetite for that kind of change. I don't know.
Are you trying to go 5-11 three times? Is that what you're telling
me? No, I don't want to.
That's not bad enough, honestly. I guess your hope is that they reached that point just with a decade of Garrett.
The frustration
because
of that.
It was obviously enough where Jerry had to let go of somebody that he would never want to let go, but he was like, we have to do something.
Yeah.
And it can't be me. Yeah. It's got
to
be him.
It goes to me trying to interpret what they're saying. Because this week at the Senior Bowl, they're kind of going back and forth between talking about, oh, yeah, there's going to be real change. We're looking for big guys now in the defense. To, oh, no, it's pretty much the same thing. That's what Will McClay said a lot of yesterday. Yeah. So I'm like, okay, you're bringing in McCarthy, but is he Pittsburgh JG? Are we getting Kellen plus McCarthy just like we were getting Kellen plus Jason Garrett? Or is there significant change going? And my thought would be, if it's essentially the same mode of operation, just with a different head coach, it's because they haven't failed enough to realize the error of their ways. Hopefully they prove me wrong, though, and there is no error of their ways. And
yeah,
they
I guess,
just roll.
Well, that's already, San
Francisco
there's already been
did it. Did. Yeah. Okay, let's look at the other way. Kansas City. They never really got horrible to be in this position.
No, they had to trade up to get decent to
pretty good. Got Pat Mahomes, and now they look like they're set for the next 10 years on being a Super Bowl contender because of that situation. So I hear you because the Cowboys, without going really bad when I was a child, they would have never got Troy Aikman. And so I think it goes how much does this go to the quarterback that you have to hit on a Hall of Fame quarterback?
And other,
and it's easier to do it if you're picking in the top three.
Right. And then I would say potentially, and Gavin will probably correct us since he has the blueprints in front of him for this segment, but I think your other massive home run picks can be a big part of that. Like for the Chiefs, what was it? It was trading up to get Patrick Mahomes at 10, which even they probably didn't think he was going to be what he is. And then the year before that, getting one of the best receivers in football in the fifth round in Tyreek Hill. And where did they get Travis Kelce? He was a third round pick years and years
huge
ago.
Luck. Yeah.
So like they have some grand slams, and Chris Jones in the second round. I would say those guys, like, it's game changers.
Well, and I think those guys are on different rules, because if you have Belichick, Reed, Brady, Mahomes, now you're in a, you're operating in a different sandbox. You're not looking to ride the roller coaster. You're looking to pave the league, right, for a decade. We're just going to roll over you and win. Now, they did hit rock bottom in 2012. They went 2-14, fired their coach, hired Andy Reid.
Okay. Okay. So they did at one point. So, and that's what made them go after trying to go get what you'd consider a premium coach who had maybe lost it a little bit in Philadelphia. I just, as my mind is just thinking, I'm not trying to take a shot at Prescott or Romo because people see it as this.
Oh, here comes the shot.
Well, I feel like you have to get Staubach or you have to get Aikman. Like guys like Romo, guys like Dak Prescott, they're good. They're good quarterbacks, and they'll make Pro Bowls. We saw Tony make Pro Bowls in his career, and Dak will make more Pro Bowls in his career. But are they truly good enough to lift you to the Peyton Manning, Tom Brady? Now, Pat Mahomes hasn't won yet, and I know Aaron Rodgers only won one. But, I mean, it feels like to me, even though it's a team sport and it does take a lot of team to ultimately win a championship, especially in football,
yeah,
there's just so many times where this Hall of Fame quarterback, this unbelievable quarterback, was able to put you in this position year after year after year, and you break through because that quarterback puts you in that position.
Yeah, and you know, you look at who's been making it from the AFC. It looks like the NBA with, like, oh, you're either LeBron or you're the Warriors, right? Yeah. That's who's making it. Yeah. So I agree.
But we have to hope that Dak becomes that guy.
Yes, because I think Jerry does not look at it like we look at it. He thinks, oh, there's 5,000 coaches who could win. You know, you just have to have one of them. And there's a bunch of quarterbacks that could win. You just have to have one of them and have the moon and stars align.
I know it's Mike Fisher's theory, but I feel like he kind of takes it from Jerry Jones. Is like, look, it's an 8-8 league. Like, you just have to get lucky this year.
Yeah.
And sometimes you're unlucky and you go 6-10.
Yeah.
And it's like, but
that's waving the white flag. I don't think the best teams in the NFL look at it like that. They look at it like that might be the case for those other teams. That ain't going to be the case for us, because we are going to create a standard and adhere to that standard every year, or you got to go. Okay, this next piece of content comes from the Cowboys Wire's Ben Grimaldi out there.
Good pizza that guy makes.
Yes, that's what I think of whenever I see him writing. I'm like, man, the cheese they put on that's amazing. Contemplating from the couch is the headline. Cowboys could learn these lessons from Chiefs 49ers. Number one, having a great defensive tackle does help. Chris Jones for the Chiefs, couple of different dudes for the 49ers. It is just so damn pompous to look at the NFL and the kinds of players that have won Super Bowls over this decade and say, oh, yeah, ours, we don't do defensive tackles. You know, those guys, they're really overcoming a big challenge. You know, can you believe it? They did it. Look at that, man. They paid a defensive tackle. They used first-round picks on a defensive tackle, and they won. How smug do you have to be? Or I think laziness. Laziness has taken over this Cowboys team in a lot of ways. How lazy do you have to be? Oh, we don't have to update our thoughts. All of these teams keep giving defensive tackles premium money and winning. Oh, they're just overcoming it. But that doesn't apply to us, Jerry, right? Oh, yeah, no, Steve. Let's go to the Bahamas again.
That's all right. We're finding a fat guy this year. We're learning.
I think
we're going to find a fat guy.
Hopefully that changes the way Jeff is saying it, because I think with Jason Garrett and the philosophy that he had with hiring his defensive coaches told him that I'm not going to put a lot into this, and I don't know if it also came from Stephen Jones and Jerry Jones or not, right? Because we don't know. We'll find out this year. I think this offseason, we're going to find out. It might have not been a Jason Garrett thing, or it might have not been Rod Marinelli or the old fart that we had for a little while.
Easy on Monty.
Okay, I couldn't remember his name. is if they go that same philosophy, then it's not the coaches, it's the front office saying we're never going to invest in good defensive tackles because we just cut our pie, or we cut our salary cap a certain way and we can't do it all. And so we've decided defensive tackle, especially one techniques and safeties, ooh, are worthless in our salary cap.
That would be disappointing. That being said, I don't think it's a fatal flaw. But, man, you're going to just pressure the pocket from the outside and then just have a massive hole in the middle where the quarterback or the running back can just be like, oh, that's cool. You got all pros out there. I'll just play here. I don't know. I suppose it's worked for several teams across the NFL history, and they have reason to believe, but – man, there's a bunch of evidence coming up. I mean, the Eagles did it. They have great defensive tackle play. The Giants, when they won it, they were like, yes, we'll either have an amazing defensive tackle or we'll get an awesome defensive end and play him at defensive tackle. It just goes on and on.
Well, Jeff, I think you'll agree with this when it comes to the draft. If we can find a really good one technique guy for the next 4 to 5 years, then we can brag about our linebackers. If we don't, hopefully, then we're gonna hate on Jalen Smith. We're probably going to be disappointed with Leighton Vander Esch's career.
Yeah.
But if we get that guy, he might not get all the stats. He might only have 3 sacks per year and not really gaining a lot of tackles. But what he does is he eats up a center and a guard. See, and then our linebackers, who we love and want to pay a lot of money to, like Jerry Jones wants to give them all the money, like, then they would perform to their contract.
The thing I hope is not weighing in the decision is how much screen time you get per dollar spent on your salary. And the defensive tackles, they do a job good for winning, but they typically don't hit the quarterback and they often don't even tackle the ball carrier.
Yeah.
The linebackers do. The running backs spend a ton of time on TV. They sell a ton of jerseys.
Well, then view it as promoting Jalen and Leighton.
That'd be cool. Yeah. Whatever it takes to justify that, right? It's investing to chase our other investment and make sure they're propped up. Number two, same thing. Safety's a position you can have great players too. Honey Badger, dominating. The latest great safety playing in the game, okay?
Earl Thomas. How about the guy they took like 2 picks after the Cowboys? He's out now, but Juan Thornhill as a rookie had a big impact for them. They had Honey Badger and Juan Thornhill. They were invested double in safety.
And you can go back in recent years, who's winning Super Bowls? Earl Thomas, Malcolm Jenkins, McCourty with the Patriots. Teams are arriving with good money spent on safeties and putting together great defenses. It doesn't appear to be handicapping them.
The Broncos had a good...
Atwater, back in the day.
Well, no. The last one, the one that Peyton Manning was the quarterback, did they... I know they had nice cornerbacks, and they obviously had Von Miller and DeMarcus Ware. I'm just wondering...
I don't remember their safeties off the top of my head.
All right, it is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Safeties on those teams... Was it T.J. Ward or Darian Stewart?
That might be right on both counts.
Yeah.
It could be both of them.
Okay, more aggressive on first down, passing more. Are we going to get that with Mike McCarthy? I don't know. You know, passing more on first down. And I also want to say, while we were champions on this show for passing more last year, when they did try to do it, sometimes it worked, but sometimes it blew up in their face. You know, I think executing, even though Jason Garrett said it and it was nauseating, the execution was bad last year. And, you know, sometimes when they finally did decide to stop running it on early downs, they didn't pass it. So, you know, sometimes it can be really, really tough when you're trying to make a change or believe in a guy. If you go for it and then it doesn't work and pay off, you know, then you're looking at like, hey, guys, guess what our record was when we just ran it all the damn time? 12.
Which is a weird take because he had 301 carries last year. He was 2 carries, I believe, from leading the league in rushing attempts.
Hmm.
They ran the ball plenty.
Need 75 more?
They ran the ball.
Okay. Invest in the defensive line. Ideally, you can. You only have so many picks. I'm starting to look at this defense like, is it going to get so bad that you're not going to be able to really consider the team champions, contenders?
Oh, I think that's possible. Yeah, I think that's totally possible.
That's where they were in 14 and 16.
They're sinking a lot of money into guys already on the roster, and now they've got tough decisions to make, and it sounds like Byron Jones probably isn't one of the decisions they're going to make to keep. So their secondary's probably going to be worse. Their linebacker group probably needs help from D-tackle and Van Der Esch health and Jalen to play better, and their defensive line almost has to be rebuilt. This team could absolutely get worse.
I think it's a 2 or 3 year project to get a good defense again.
Here's the optimistic side of it. Me coming in with the optimism here. Philadelphia, Washington, and New York. I don't think those teams are going to be that good, at least for a year, maybe even 2 years. So even if you start deteriorating a little bit, and you're probably to your championship, you're probably right, Gavin. But to winning the division, you can probably still win this division with the defense maybe deteriorating on you.
Maybe got to lower the expectations just a little bit more now.
And maybe we should say, hey, who cares how many guys are leaving? That was a bad defense.
Yeah.
So whoever the new guys are, maybe it'll be better.
Yeah. Hey, replacement level guys might have a chance. At least they'll try hard. Okay, it's winning time. Try your hardest now. Text the word time to 72881. Time is the word. Text it to 72881. It's part of our national Turn It On, Leave It On contest. You'll have another shot at that coming up in the 6 o'clock hour tomorrow with Sean and RJ. We go around the NFL next on The Fan. All right, thanks. Let's go around the NFL, brought to you by WinStar World Casino and Resort. Here's Jeff.
All right, guys. I want to share something with you from the Senior Bowl. And if anybody doesn't know what that is, it's where a bunch of seniors from college football, the best ones, get invited for an all-star game. They get coached by the Bengals and Lions coaching staff, which that's not quite a reward, but they get NFL coaching for a week, and then they play the game.
And they smoke a bowl together.
Yes. I am not going to beat you down with player names from the Senior Bowl until 5:40. But the coaching is really fun to watch. I'm going to play you one piece of audio. So Matt Patricia is the coach of one of the teams, the Lions coach, and he sees people that he recognizes on the sideline. He's running over to say hello. But a lot of coaches at the Senior Bowl are mic'd up because it makes it fun for us to watch the practices, which I'm watching right now on ESPNU. And so this is Matt Patricia, when he sees a certain friend on the sideline running over to say hello.
I'm Mike, so don't say anything. I just want to say hi. How you doing? Yeah. I mean, I couldn't miss those sunglasses, though. I mean, I saw those from like 5 miles away. Like, that's nice right there.
I guess you can hear Bill Belichick, so it's not much of a guessing game. But
it could only be him or his son, Steve.
Yeah, so are we to read into this that every time that Matt Patricia and Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels see each other, all they talk about is how they cheat?
Yeah.
Like he's running over to him, and before he even gets there, I'm Mike, don't say anything. Like, is the first thing out of his mouth every time you see him? Like, remember that time we were filming the sideline back in 09? That was awesome,
yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah. I think the Patriots cheating empire extends into Belichick's coaching tree. That's why his tree never succeeds. They're too busy doing his dirty work for him under the cover of coaching other teams.
Well, yeah. It's really entertaining. So
Belichick was going to say, what do you got for me?
Right.
Who are the AFC teams you're facing this year?
You cheating in the Senior Bowl? You taping the other team here? I just think it's hilarious. The first thing you say to your friend is, I'm Mike, don't say anything. Like, man, I know every time I see you, you constantly incriminate yourself. So just shh.
I guess an alternate theory might be Patricia looks at Belichick as the boss and wants to be extra courteous.
Okay. Just to let him know, hey,
you're
being heard right now.
Yeah.
So chill out, buddy. Well, it's really entertaining. So last night I was also watching, dang it, I don't know his name off the top of my head, but the Bengals defensive line coach. He's running the drills for the defensive lineman. It's not Bruce Smith.
Oh.
And as he's
Reggie
doing
White.
It.
Hey, good try, Mike.
Thanks.
As he's coaching
Charles
him up.
Charles Haley would be a good one for
Shut
the seniors.
Shut up, Mike!
You think Haley would be a good guy to coach the seniors?
No. So as he's coaching him, he's showing him how to do the drill, right? In South Carolina's Javon Kinlaw, my dream, at number 17. He's going through it and he's showing him what to do. We're going through the bags this way, and then pop the pad that's on my chest, and then rip it, and then tackle the tackle dummy. And he shows him how. Like, get down, get your head across, pick it up. That's how we tackle it. And so Kinlaw goes through the drill, pops him, pulls through, and he goes to hit the tackling dummy, and he tackles it, like dives onto the ground. And the coach turns around, and I don't remember his exact words, but it was something like, Jesus! And Kinlaw's like, what? And he's like, you're going to get me effing fired. Don't go to the ground.
So stay off the ground, kid.
So he turns to the next guy, and he's like, don't go to the ground. Pick it up. Next guy goes through the drill and does the exact same thing.
Mm.
So he turns to the guy that's next, and he goes, hey, Benito! That's the third guy that's going to go.
Santiago, catcher?
Benito Jones, Ole Miss D tackle. And Benito's looking at him. He goes, stay off the ground. Got
Please,
it?
For the
he's
love
like,
of everything that's holy.
He's like, uh-huh. Because he's got these guys that are about to get millions of dollars diving on the ground. He's like, what are you idiots doing? Stop it.
Question for Mike. Is there ever a time in sports where the guys in the back of the line will start paying attention to the coach explaining it to the first guy in line.
Honestly, I don't think they ever do.
You just watch the one right before you?
But you know what? There were times where I would be in some sort of pitching fielding practice, and it would be a little bit different. Like, Buck Showalter had some weird pitcher fielding practice stuff, like when it came to rundowns and stuff that were different than anything I'd ever heard. So I didn't want to go first.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm not going to be like, hey, I'm going to jump up and go first. I was just like, let me watch a couple people do this and see, especially the veterans do it, and then I'll go out there and do it like they just did it. Because I'm not exactly sure how to do it the way they want me to do it here. But
blows my mind in these high-leverage situations that guys wouldn't be totally dialed in. Like, okay, coach, I got it. You know, how can you be the next guy in line after a dude in front of you just got lectured for going to the ground?
I know where you're going with this. You're going with your 8-year-old soccer team, just like I have to deal with all the boys playing basketball and baseball. I'm like,
we
I just showed
the
you
youth sports,
and then I've showed you two other times to other people. Why is everybody going to do it wrong?
Right? Yeah, I'm wondering, Jeff, is this ever going to end? Age 13, age 14, and the answer is no.
I don't think it will.
Here's some 22-year-olds running around out there.
Because usually the person who would pay attention is going to be the person that's already at the front, and they're going to go first. So if they mess it up, everybody else is kind of just D-ing around and watch the person in front of them.
I think what's tough now is you can't now call the kid a stupid MF-er.
Thank you.
And scream and get in their face and rip their face mask in football because all of a sudden you will get the attention of the people like, oh, crap, I wasn't paying attention. And am I going to be called an MF-er and then get, like, my face mask ripped off because I'm not paying attention? See, the wussification. And now people are like, I don't have to pay attention. What's the worst that's going to happen? He's going to say,
thank you.
Can you please do it right?
Yeah. The most you can get away with now is maybe a passive-aggressive eye roll. And, you know.
Depends if there's cameras and witnesses.
Yeah.
You can put a kid in a shed.
Around the NFL.
They don't even go hard at boot camp anymore, y'all, by the way. Yes. They don't even go super hard at boot camp.
Wow.
You got to consider your feelings now.
Wow.
Wow. That's what I said.
They call Gen X sensitive.
Military people.
We were freaking hardcore, bro.
Yeah, but people who go to the military at 18 don't have feelings.
Yeah, we're not feeling. We only care for this country.
Yeah. They just want that money.
Well, come on.
They don't have a career plan.
In the country.
In the country.
Yeah.
Also.
I'll recap the Antonio Brown situation here quickly for you on second down. It's been developing. Of course, the report last night, the truck driver, the mover guy saying I was assaulted. They threw rocks at me. They took the keys out of the ignition and then started taking packages off the truck.
Threw rocks at me.
Yes. Antonio Brown's trainer was arrested, and there's details in that arrest report that kind of, you know, color in some of the details that we were unfamiliar with yesterday. The arrest warrant has officially been issued for Antonio Brown. And one of the unfortunate parts about that is the arrest warrant warns officers that Brown has a concealed weapons permit and is known to carry. So obviously it should be in there. It's for the safety of the officers. But the unfortunate part about that is now Brown's friends and family are worried that he may act erratically in a way with officers showing up under the impression that he may have a gun and is known to carry and act erratically. Hopefully this story doesn't end tragically. He needs to get in and get the therapy or whatever needs to happen before he gets shot.
Well, and he's going to have to be, and now he will be, but he's going to have to be arrested at some point. Because you can't institutionalize, for lack of a better word, somebody, I don't think, and unless it's proven that they're a danger. And we got to be getting close with him. And once you get an arrest on the books, maybe he can actually get some help. Because I'm cheering for the guy, not against the guy. Like when we talked earlier, no, I don't think an NFL team will touch him because even an agent, I don't think will touch him because it just makes no sense. You can't make me money right now because you got problems. You're going to, every team that you go to is going to be like, holy crap, what's wrong with you?
100%.
You have to undo that part and then go make some millions. Go be one of the best receivers in the league.
Well, third down, speaking of agents that might not be happy, this is going to be a minor unhappiness. Probably Amari Cooper's agent isn't that happy of what Amari Cooper is saying at the Pro Bowl because they asked him about his contract, and I'll just get down to this part where Cooper pretty much said he's not going to play for half the teams in the NFL or a third of them because he said, I don't think it's all about money. A guy like me who's from South Florida who's never played a game in the snow, is it worth millions of dollars for a year or two to pretty much like play where it's cold? He's like, I don't want to do that. I mean, I'm kind of taking his quote, but I mean, he pretty much said, Like he did say, a guy like me from South Florida who's never played a game in the snow, he's like, I don't want to do that. In fact, I'll take millions less to make sure I don't have to be in a cold weather environment.
All right. Well, you're indoors.
I don't know. I mean, if I was his agent, I'd be like, hey, Amari, I know you're a great guy because you also said in this deal, like, you're not worried about it. You're taking it day to day. You're a premium player that's going to get paid premium money. But when you do say, I'm not going to play where it snows, there's probably 10 to 15 teams that deal with snow during a season. So,
and I was planning to leverage all of them.
Yes, I was planning on, if you did hit the market, that I was going to talk to Buffalo and Philadelphia and New York.
Are there guys that literally are thinking like I would? Like, it's either 18 or 19 or 16. I don't care. Just give me the contract, right? If I'm sorry if I cost myself $700,000 in leverage, agent, but I don't care. It's so much money.
Your ego gets really big.
Yeah,
and so got a lot of time to think about it. We can talk about it right now.
Yeah.
From that standpoint, but I think that sometimes your ego gets to you and go, wait a second, you can only work 2.5 hours for that much money? You know?
Like, yeah, I want a piece of that.
Yeah.
What makes them so special?
Yeah.
Amari Cooper's pictures at the Pro Bowl are outstanding, though, as he looks totally, he looks like a dumpy kid on vacation who's like, Mom and Dad, when can I go back to the car and get my Game Boy out?
He does not smile. Everyone is so happy to be there, and he's like, yeah, take the stupid picture.
Okay, top stories at 5 o'clock coming up next, including what Joe Judge has to say about his new offensive coordinator. That's next here on 105.3 The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.